Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Enjoy today's intro.
Oh, really?
Ted, not so much.
Oh,
that's a good tease.
People are ready. Or a promise.
For what it's worth, it's not good for me either. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't only, yeah. If it's going to hurt your self-esteem, it's going to hurt mine too. But it makes Matt look rightfully glorious.
Can't wait to find out.
Yeah, let's find out.
Good day. You are listening to a podcast. But this isn't just any podcast. Just any podcast couldn't do this. Or this. What the? This is the podcast. Starring the Ted. Starring the Ted. Starring the Ted Smith and Cobb. The podcast starts. You better wear a helmet now.
Woo. The podcast, episode 272. What's up, it's your boy, the Ted Smith. I'll be hosting this here podcast, greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
To the left of me, he's to the right of me, and he's always here unless he's somewhere in Southeast Asia on two wheels. He goes by the name of Cobb. Cobb, what's going on?
Where is he? Shares of the podcast with mixed results in early trading today, as the summer of sex never came to be. Ted and Cobb posting low numbers, failed to beat talent estimates issued in the March quarterly earnings call. Matt carried the bulk of the load and shot it to analysts from Goldman downgraded the boys from buy to hold. Will the boys get their mojo back in time for Burning Man? Will the women of the Orgy Dome make Ted tantric? We'll find out at 6:30.
Back there on the wheels of steel, getting the studio all set up. Matt Comer, the producer, MCTP. What's up, Matt?
Hey, Ted.
You know, funny enough, I was thinking a few things on the way to work today. And that's one of the things. I was like, just so you know, in your head, I'm just like, dang, what happened? Like, winter was good. Spring was kind of all right. And I was like, summertime, just a little barren.
Dude, pardon the pun. It's like the summer that never came in multiple ways, because I hear what you're saying on the women front. I feel like, you know, talking to a lot of women, but not really like, you know, making strong connections. And then also, you know, it wasn't really that hot. Like, even when we were at the lake house over the weekend with Matt, it was like, you know, 75 degrees, 70 degrees. We didn't really have any like scorchers this summer.
Yeah. Yeah. Which I'm fine with.
You would be.
I think it was Jamie pointed it out, not this past week and the one before,
was like the hot days weren't on the weekends at all. There's a few like hot Wednesdays and Thursdays, but by the time the weekend came around, it was either like moderate or just straight up cloudy in a lot of cases.
Yeah.
Because there's definitely been some days where I'm walking to the gym and it's a 5-minute walk and I'm sweating by the time I get there. Like, oh, thank God for this AC.
Yeah, I'm with you, right? Because I usually walk to work between like 10:30 and 11. So, I mean, I've definitely, there's been a couple walks in where I'm like, oh, man, it's warm out. There's a couple weird kind of humid days too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what happened this summer. Just didn't concentrate enough. I feel like I'm heating back up. But it's also one of those things, too. Like, everything you want doesn't want you. And the flavors you don't like. The flavors you don't like are fully available.
So raw. So real.
That hit Cobb like a 10-foot wave in the North Shore of Oahu. He's just, oh, man.
Real talk, Ted Smith.
Well, I mean.
Only the finest on the podcast.
Yeah.
Like, get at us.
I had a blast on my the one summer vacation, but like I spent it with family. Like, there was no time to like go like holler at chicks or whatever.
And you went out cruising the boardwalk?
Yeah, right. Deep Creek Lake.
Oh, no. I'm talking about, where do you guys do Beach Week? The Maryland coast?
Oh, yeah. Like Ocean City.
Yeah.
Yeah. Trust me. If I had been in Ocean City, this would have been a different story. But it's about to be rough there.
Dude, is that not like the tale of as old as time, though? You and I are always getting hyped. Like, you're like, oh, well, if I had been to Ocean City, I'd be married by now.
Yeah, right.
It's like, dude, let's just be real. You and I are not just going to randomly approach attractive chicks in exotic places. Like, we've had, like, in our combined friendship of 9 years, like, we've probably approached 3 women.
And, well, let's
we did try to take down a celebrity with Dolphin Girl. I respect us for that.
And we showed up massive at the first big party we went to this summer.
You know what? You're not wrong. We weren't chopping it up. We actually had a good showing at that party.
Right? Like, we showed out, like, the first party of the summer. And then we just kind of, well, personally speaking, just kind of dribbled, or I don't know, just kind of fell off.
We set the bar too high. We came out hot, but we're like one of those NFL teams that wins all their preseason games.
Yeah, right? Or we're going to be like the Browns this year. The Browns are going to be on fire the first 2 months of the season.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a little rough for them.
what's that quarterback, their quarterback's name?
Baker Mayfield?
No. Oh, who has Andy Dalton?
Bengals.
Oh, all right. Good call. I was like, ooh, I don't even know.
And I know why you would have heard about the Bengals.
Ohio, yeah.
You know what? To be honest with you, I'm kind of excited to see the Browns play just for the dancing. Like, Baker Mayfield is a good dancer. Okay. Odell Beckham Jr., pretty famous for his dancing.
Ooh, yeah, I didn't even know he was on the Browns.
Yeah, the Giants traded him over there. And then Landry on the other side was college teammates with OBJ. So it should be an exciting year. Like, they have a lot of stuff. Now, are they going to pull it together and win? I don't know. But
they're still the Browns.
Yeah, I'm excited to do some stuff.
That's true.
All right, well, let me ask you this. Because I had a conversation with a friend of ours. So, like, famous people, right? Like, people come up to them and say they like them all the time and this and that. But, like, if you're an athlete, or part of the reason I bring this up is I heard a woman named, forget her name, sorry, but she was on The Hills. Whitney something. Whitney Port?
Hoblanchik. I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
So married to, like, the Sven dude.
So she was telling a story.
Something like that.
About years ago, Leonardo DiCaprio, like, hitting on her, but she didn't. She's like, it's one of my regrets. Like, I should have hooked up with him or this or that. So it's like, even though he's famous, like, you still got to put in work.
Yeah. I mean, I hear what you're saying. I think it depends on the delta between the caliber of the two participants relative to what their gender is ranked on by the other gender. That's what I would say. Like, if it's like Leonardo DiCaprio and some like random chick at a coffee stand, like, she's probably going home with him. But if it's like Leonardo DiCaprio and like someone who's also like kind of famous, then he can't be quite as like cavalier and over the top. But if there's like a huge delta, you know, I would say that maybe it's easier.
Yeah. I also think sometimes too, you can think somebody's hot and then a celebrity or something, then meet them and be like, oh, they're kind of weird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, Ted, you pointed out that like backstage, you see a lot of these like rock stars, they're still good at talking to chicks. They don't just come up and start b***ing them or whatever. It's like, they've got game.
Yeah.
Maybe that's influenced by the amount of reps they're getting every single night in every single city they go to on tour. But, yeah, you still got to, like, know how to close the deal. You just get more at bats is a rock star.
Well, and they also get plus a couple points in the attractiveness category by being musicians, you know what I mean? One, and two, like being on stage in front of thousands of people.
Yeah, and you're right. And it definitely it's an advantage, but I still think you need that opening, too. Like, don't get me wrong. I'm sure Metallica and there's bands at the height of their thing, women were just back there servicing them. You know, Bon Jovi. Not Bon Jovi. Well, I'm sure Bon Jovi, too.
Motley Crue.
I was thinking of Motley Crue. I came up with Bon Jovi. But I was like, they still got to put in a little work, right? I don't know. I was having an argument and somebody was like, yeah, but that person knows your show. Like, why didn't you hook up with them? I was like, because she's a fan of the show, but like, there wasn't like an ample opportunity to be like, hey, let me get your number. And there's a difference between meeting somebody in a normal setting and then somebody sliding in your DMs.
I don't really know what we're even talking about here, but I will say the TLDR of this conversation is, Ted, we still need to put in work. if that's where we're headed, you know what I mean? I'm pretty sure we're not Alex Rodriguez. Too long, didn't read. It's like if you want to just skip straight to the bottom and get the summary. The summary is, we still got to put in work.
Yeah, right. That was the point I was trying to make somebody. Like, it's not that easy.
Fish aren't just hopping in the boat, man.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, like, still got to put in a little bit of effort here.
Dude, I've just always been bad at the, like, approach out of nowhere. You know what I mean? Like, I'm fine once I'm talking to someone generally, but, like, I just do not walk up to girls like, hey, what's up? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just too, like, some guys have that talent, man. The guy I lived with in Austin was incredible at that.
Yeah.
Shout out YJ.
I'm getting nervous.
Shout out YJ.
I'm getting nervous just thinking about it.
Yeah, seriously. I know. Like, I do it maybe, like, a couple times a year, but it's rare.
Are you, like, a friends of friends guy?
I don't know. I mean, I'm a guy who just doesn't really date a lot of people, to be honest with you. But, like, usually I've met people through, like, class or sports.
Okay.
Pretty much, primarily.
Yeah. And I think, you can meet people different way. I'm saying, like, if you're in a bar and there's two groups of people and you start interacting, that's one thing. But, like, just the stone cold walk up to somebody at a bar and open up the line is, for me, still nerve-wracking.
Yeah, and for me, it's tough, like, pulling someone out of a social, like, a mutual social situation. Like, let's say five of your friends are talking to five of their friends. Like, it's tough to actually extricate someone from that situation to have time to, like, be one-on-one with them or whatever.
Right, well, that's why, like, at the party was much easier because we were naturally interacting with everybody anyhow.
As opposed
to just, like, walking up to a chick like, hey.
Yeah, I like that we kind of picked our own little zones, too, and set up shop, you know? I was controlling that deck for a while. You had the driveway down. Every once in a while, we'd mingle groups a little bit. It was fun.
Had to bust out that bottle of flavored vodka on people.
Yeah, I was literally going to say, like, at least you're entertaining. Like, I just had to sit there and, like, feed people beers, man. She's like, here, yeah, just be near me. Just be near me. Drink this.
So let's see. Talk a little bit about the weekend. I know, Matt, you're going to touch on it, but the shirtless summer is officially official now.
Oh, yeah.
We even tweeted out a picture, all three of us shirtless, which I was very proud. I think probably the first shirtless picture I tweeted out.
Awesome.
We tweeted out from the podcast. I should retweet it from mine. But
yeah, you got a lot of compliments just on our from our followers, and you got way more.
Yeah, right? I know. I'm just.
You might get some ladies sliding into your DMs. Who knows?
You know what? I should retweet that right now as we talk.
Yeah.
Shirtless summer.
Yeah, Colin,
touch it up a little
you.
Bit. Give us some tans. I like that.
I was also going to mention, because I think we had talked about it here, was me learning to dive.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So this was an interesting process. So before Cobb gets there, Matt's like him and his buddy Josh, like, do you want to learn a couple things? Do you want? And Matt's going, I don't want to step on Cobb's toes. Maybe you should wait for him. I was like, oh, we'll try a few. So we're kind of getting to a point where it's getting close to almost a dive.
I saw one that was like definitely a dive, not like a great dive, but it was definitely a dive. And then I came back down later and Josh had said that you had continued to evolve a little bit.
Well, there was definitely a low point though, too. Then I just started screwing up and like getting nervous. It's also just awkward. You know what I mean? Like, and I know what you guys are saying about like press off and kick your legs out, but it's like I couldn't tell my brain to do it while I was in the air.
Well, again, dude, so the rest of the story too is like, so then I showed up and Ted actually has like a decent dive down at this point, like probably a, you know, 81 out of 100 maybe, right? And so he does one. I'm like, oh nice, this will be not that much work. So I start trying to coach him, and it's one of those things where like something that you know so deeply, like I probably learned how to dive when I was like 4, so like you know it so well that it almost like makes it harder to teach. And I was just like, I don't know, man. Like, try kicking your feet higher in the air. Try like tightening your, and it went downhill so fast. So then I had him basically just like belly flopping with his hands in front of him. Like, is that not accurate?
Yeah, it is. But it was just funny. I was like, how am I deep? Like going backwards. Yeah.
And like quickly.
Yeah. I know. Then I'm like, just
A-framing
it. I
have no idea how to teach diving.
But the last one I got in was good.
Awesome.
Yeah. But it's also weird. I didn't realize, like, you just always see people diving. I'm like, your house is like perfect for it. Because if it's like a 5-foot pool, I'm just going to be banging my head on the ground.
Depends on how you dive. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like swimmers do that kind of starting dive. So you're only going, you know, depending on the stroke, like 3 feet under.
Yeah. And also when Kyle showed up, Josh was like, dude, just do a run and start. You'll be fine. And then I'm like crashing in awkwardly, I'm glad I didn't do the run and start.
Yeah, it does weirdly make it a little easier. One thing that's funny with diving too for swimmers are kind of cool. So they dive in and that creates a wave. And then for breaststrokers, they'll come up a little bit, but not all the way up, do a stroke and let that wave hit them to push them further.
Yeah. Huh. I've seen that in like the Olympics,
mm-hmm. It's
right?
Because
it's like they're right there, but they're not all the way up.
Yeah, and they try to pop up like right where that wave is.
Is that kind of way like sharks attack? Don't they cruise in kind of like right on top of the water and then get you?
I have no idea. I know very little about sharks.
You know who's evil? The killer whales.
I'm into killer whales. Pro killer whale.
You know how they do seals on ice? Like three of them will sit there and like breach and make a wave.
Oh, yeah.
So eventually the seal slides off and they eat them. No. Yeah. I'm more like a seal.
I love seal.
Yeah, I know you do. But no, diving was fun. Obviously, Matt, tell your dad again, thanks for having us over. It was an awesome time. Also, nice to actually interact with your mom. I feel like she's never super chatty with me. But I was like, we were driving home and Jamie was like, I think that's the most I've talked to his mom. And I go, me too. It was great.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had a great time.
Well, I also said, that's a perfect environment, I think, to meet people. Because if it's a Saturday night and we're watching UFC fights, it's a little looser crowd.
Yeah.
Right? It's like Sunday afternoon, like, everybody's having fun, but nobody's getting, like, crazy, crazy.
Right.
Yeah, that's true. That was an awesome meetup. I'm so glad we made it back out there. And as always, man, Mitch on the food.
Just yeah.
On point. That house just has, like, so much, like, stuff to do. Like, it's built for entertaining.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why he was like, invite more people when he knew you two were confirmed for the same day, which was its own, like, scheduling, you know, triumph. And then, yeah, so it was good to turn it into a little get-together because there's a lot to do. And, you know, the mayor's kids had a great time. And, yeah, it was a ton of fun. Yeah, and he was like...
Hot tub felt great. I used the outdoor shower. I mean, I used the facilities.
You and Francis were the two that tore it up the most because she was having a great time in the water and then with the waterfall and the hot tub and then used the outdoor shower. And I told my dad all that and he's like, Francis is my friend. Francis is 1 year old.
Also, where the outdoor shower is on the side of your house, it was just funny. So I'm in there like lathering up, and every once in a while, I'll just kind of like, you take like not even a foot over and you peek out, and it's like, there's your dad grilling. There's people walking up and down the lawn. It's like, I'm in the shower, but I'm not.
Yeah. It's, yeah, that was a ton of fun. He was like, I like made out a list of like food ideas or whatever, and he was like, okay, cool. Do you just want me to handle all of this? And I was like, I would love that because you are a pro.
He gets into his zone, man. He's a true grill master. A true grill master.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he times everything out right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Joe was making fun of me, too. Is like, right, so you're hanging out, and like either you got a beer in your left, well, for me, I have a beer in my left hand or something. So I'm just kind of picking at food, but Joe was making fun of me because every time I came out, like first I came out with just eating a hot dog. Next time I came out, I was just eating a thing of corn, like just holding it up. And then the next time, I basically came out with one item in my hand every time. I had like one peeled shrimp. I'm just like, he's like, what is with you with this one-handed eating? Like, this is it.
Yeah,
this
my drinking life, hand's busy.
Yeah, this is how life should be lived.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I mean, we're grazing and, you know, just like good food. It's summer. That was the most time I spent shirtless at a party in probably my life.
That's huge.
Awesome. Yeah.
It's one step closer to the pull-up, baby. I've gotten kind of hyped on that now. I was thinking about that the other day when I was walking into my house.
Yeah. Yeah. I lift it last week. I've lifted like once this week, but like, man, after Burning Man, I gotta seriously get back in the lab.
Have you talked to Osiris about getting a pull-up?
We did.
Yeah?
So we're getting there.
Cool.
All right. Cool.
Yeah. But I gotta drop a few more off. All right, Cobb, I know you're a shoes off person on the plane. How do you feel about barefoot guy on the plane?
All right. I mean, okay, there's, I mean, okay. Like, for some people, it's a black and white world, but I would say within the shoe-free plane community, there are shades of gray.
All right. So,
you know, at my house, I keep a Japanese household, so, or Asian household, so no shoes in the house. It's the only rule at my house, but I, like, enforce it ruthlessly. So, for a plane, I'll pop my shoes off, but stay in my seat, you know? Pop my shoes off so I can sleep, because it's, I don't know, it's always weird to sleep with shoes on. But, like, if I get up to walk to the bathroom or to go hang out with the flight attendants or anything, like, my shoes are going on. So I don't move about the cabin shoeless. It's just if I'm in my seat. As for barefoot, I've been on a plane in sandals before. Would I slide those off and put my feet on the floor? I don't really see what you gain there. I'm going to say no. I'm not into barefoot guy. Where are you at?
I am not. And I get it. Like, I get untying your shoes, right, because the elevation going up and down.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think it's just like...
And just sitting for that long, too.
Yeah.
A lot of blood ends up.
But I also, I'm just like, it's not... My thought is different. I'm just like, it's not your home. Like, keep your shoes on. And with that said, some people, right, like, I'm sure you're fine. But, like, especially, dude, if people's feet stink,
oh,
like,
yeah,
keep your shoes on. The reason I bring this up, though, is Andy Richter put out a tweet where the guy had his bare feet but up on, like, the monitor in front of him.
Jesus.
Right. So he just started tweeting. And was
savages.
Just like, what is going on out here? And I sometimes just worry that people are getting too comfortable.
I definitely hear you on that. And that's a U.S. thing, I would say, primarily. Because, like, back in the day, like, you were flying Pan Am or something, you, like, dressed up to fly. I mean, I even remember that when I was a kid. Like, it was a big deal when you'd go on a plane. And, yeah, now it's almost the opposite. Like, I kind of try to dress nice when I fly, generally speaking. Actually, pretty much for what we were talking about in the intro, because sometimes you meet attractive women on planes. It's only happened once. Could happen again. And, but as far as, like, the... in the cabin itself, like, yeah, I remember dressing up, and now I feel like people either go yoga pants, sweatpants. I've seen athletic shorts and tank top, like, you know, so.
Guilty as charged.
The real thing for me.
Yeah, in a shocker, in the summertime, I wear shorts and a t-shirt. In the wintertime, I wear jeans and a hoodie.
Yeah, personally, I'm pro people being casual in general and on planes specifically. The one thing is, like, if people are, like, anytime it's infringing on someone else. So, like, for instance, if it's one of those, like, huge guys who, like, hangs halfway into your seat and that guy's wearing a tank top, I'm going to be pissed off.
Yeah, that's fair, right? Because now you're dealing with his skin on you.
Yeah, versus, like, some of those people, they're just giant and they just kind of keep their shoulders, you know, tucked up and they're within their seat frame and it's all good.
But, yeah, and when I say I think people are too comfortable, I think sometimes now it's weird. Like, apps give everybody the advantage of, like, having something sent to your home right away, or you can order whatever food you want. It's like, even though the airline industry obviously makes a ton of money, they make the seats smaller than this and stuff, but it's almost like they tell people you deserve the best. So I think people are too comfortable. They're just like, well, it's my flight in my seat. I could be barefoot and put them on this video screen.
Oh, kind of like the customer's always right thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Weirdly, I actually disagree with the airlines making a ton of money part. But I feel like that's a way longer conversation. But yeah, as far as people getting comfortable, it's like, I don't know what caused it, because people were, like, very formal in public in general. Europeans are much more formal as well in public. And, like, the West Coast, I feel like, is the most casual place I've probably been.
Yeah, and Seattle's super casual. I also think sometimes...
That's how you always know you're going on a Seattle flight, like, seeing the people waiting for it.
Yeah, the black shirts. Yeah. But also it's different, though, too. It's like nowadays people wear casual stuff, but it's super expensive stuff.
Yeah, like Lululemon or something.
Yeah, it's just comfortable and more casual.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's the thing. I mean, it's really tough to make a blanket ban, but yeah, there's some disgusting folks out there on planes.
I've kind of revolted against that, like, overpriced comfort wear stuff. Like, all my basketball shorts now.
Athleisure.
Yeah, I have to get them from Ross or, like, the store brand from Fred Meyer. Like, I'm not paying more than $20 for basketball shorts. Get out of here.
I'm mostly with you, except I feel like Fred Meyer has always been overpriced.
I find deals there all the time. I love Fred Meyer.
But, yeah, as for, like, shorts and stuff, I don't know. I can see how people feel like it's worth the money. Like, there's a couple really good quality items that I've had from Lululemon that I liked. But, like, it's just too damn expensive. Like, I just can't afford it, you know? Like, I don't know about, like, as far as working out, I wouldn't work out in it. I would use it for, like, relaxing.
Okay, yeah. The one pair of Lululemon shorts I had, like, only had one pocket and it was tiny. I couldn't even put my phone in it to work out. Like,
maybe you're just supposed to put a little mandala in it.
Yeah.
A little Buddha.
Like, what are we doing, guys? Like, I just go into Ross or Fred Meyer and like start sticking my hands in the pockets of the basketball shorts and find the one with the deepest one so I can fit all my shit in it, because I wear them like regular shorts all the time. So I need room for my wallet, phone, keys. And yeah, it's just been, it's been a good life since I, you know, kind of stopped wearing name brand basketball shorts.
Where are you at, Ted? What do you wear to the lab?
Same thing, just a pair of Nike shorts and usually
But
I will say this, I spend a decent amount of money on Nike t-shirts, but I don't wear them to work out in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they're like fashion shirts to me.
All right.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, like the stuff I work at, honestly, I think the shirt I use the most, the two shirts I use the most, I got at Old Navy a long time ago.
Yeah. Okay. So where are you at on athleisure brands for men? Like, what else is there besides Lululemon? There's a bunch. Nike, some of the Nike has
some of the Nike
stuff.
I mean, look, I like it, but I also think that's a cool look. You know what I mean? Like, I grew up, you know, I graduated high school in the late 90s. Like, that's what, like it's cool. Yeah, like rappers wore, like,
Adidas three-stripe pants.
Yeah, like, expensive sweatsuits and stuff
Snap
like that.
Snap pants.
Yeah, so I'm like, I like all that stuff. Snap pants do look a little funny right now, but, like, people rock a lot of sweats. You can get away with wearing sweats anywhere. Like, I've said 1,000 times, though. You just got to make sure it has a thick taper on the bottom.
So to bring it back fully now, how do you feel about you rocking that stuff on planes? Like gym shorts, t-shirt, what you'd work out in?
You know, I think I'd be all right with it.
All right. So is the main thing then this guy's him being barefoot, or his position in the seat, or the combination of the two?
Combination of the two. I'll show you a picture.
Oh, what a savage.
Yeah, that's exactly the word they used here.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like, come on, man.
And I just, like, I get people, like, with the shoes, if you have on socks. I don't know, just being barefoot on a plane just kind of throws me off. But I'm
that's too much. I also always put on fresh socks right before I get to the airport.
Oh, me too.
Yeah, that's the move. That's the joint. And I bring another pair with me for when I get off. Treat yourself.
I always bring a clean pair of underwear and mesh shorts in my backpack.
Treat yourself.
Yeah. Have you guys heard about the gray sweatpants phenomenon?
I've heard about the print.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, no, that's what it is.
About?
I had no idea. Turns out in like all my Down with the Fitness vlogs, I was always wearing gray sweats. You could always see the outline of my dick. And I just had no idea that that was happening, or that there's like a whole, there's just like
subculture.
Threads of gray sweatpants of like, I guess chicks talk about it on the internet. Like, that's just a whole corner of the girls' internet of, like...
Maybe that is to them what yoga pants are
For better and for worse, which I guess you could apply that to yoga pants, too. But the... Yeah, my...
well,
sure
the
can.
Truth. Yeah.
My girlfriend...
That's affirmative, soldier.
Yeah. My girlfriend pointed it out one day, and I was like, I've been wearing gray sweatpants in videos I post to the internet for, like, a year straight. And she's like, no, I know. Like, I can't believe you've never heard of this before.
I have a pair of, like... You've seen me wear them. They're like kind of lighter, great. They're not sweatpants, but they're kind of like, I don't know, almost like a windbreaker material.
Okay.
Right? So they're cool.
Jogging pants?
Yeah. I don't know. Again, I'm sure they're for athletic stuff. I just bought them for fashion.
Mm-hmm.
So I wore them one day, and Kyle was actually with me, and a mutual friend of ours who's a female was just like, hey, like, no offense or anything, but she was like, your package looks really good in those things. Like, it just, I was like, oh.
I don't remember this at all. How long ago was this?
2 years ago, we were playing horseshoes.
Oh, I gotcha.
Yeah. So, I mean, it wasn't like.
Horseshoes.
Right? So she was just like.
I didn't know she said that. That's hilarious.
Yeah. And I was like, thanks. But you're right. That's, as you said that, I remember that comment. And I go, oh, yeah, they all are about the gray.
Yeah.
All
about flex, but thank you.
This whole blog's dedicated to it. Like, girls are on to that one.
No kidding.
Yeah. Which, all I mean, if you're single, wear some gray sweatpants. Why not?
You can ask Cobb. I used to wear the cheapest, rattiest pair of just like. Small gray sweats when I played keeper for indoor.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Dude, that was way back, man. That's hilarious.
I saw a girl today from my pub league. She's up here, like, doing something for another station. I was like, what are you doing up here? She's like, oh, I'm, you know, helping, doing this or whatever. She goes, you playing pub league? Like, yeah, she was playing keeper again. I go, no, that was just for the semifinals and the final. I'm back on the field, scoring goals.
She's out there on patrol.
Yeah, man.
And down, what, 40 pounds, something like that?
Yeah. Probably 45 or 50 now.
Jesus.
Yeah. Nice. Still got a little shave off. I will say this, though. Do you have a soccer ball?
No.
All right. I might acquire one. Because public is going to be going by the time I get back. So, like, I got to, we're going to get off. I'm in a couple days of work, get off the playa, and then Hey, it wouldn't be bad to have a little kick about in the dust, is my point.
Yeah, I was also considering bringing a light up frisbee, which
Ooh, good call.
Yeah, we can do some what are they called, agility drills.
All right.
Maybe I'll just
hit the cones.
I was just saying, should we bring cones? I'll bring the ladder from the gym, just lay it out.
Dude, I'm pretty sure that any of those like weird obstacle courses out there would suffice. Like, we just got to get through them as fast as possible. Like, remember that, dude, what's that stuff called, the tinsel that we rode our bikes through?
Oh, my God.
So for people who don't know, we're going back to Burning Man this year, and I know it's really annoying when people talk about it. We're just excited. Go ahead.
Right, so the one thing is, like, it's like a hallway, right, of just all this silver tinsel hanging. But you, once you're in it, you can't see in front of you.
Thousands of pieces of silver tinsel, like almost 100,000, and it's like 80 feet long.
Right, so cops, like, just stay straight and, like, just don't stop. You'll make it to the end. I didn't. I was like, oh, my God, like, I can't see anything. Is there people in here?
Yeah, we're riding your bike through, and your visibility is, like, 4 inches, but you can just keep riding, and it, like, you know, it goes against your face. Pretty cool.
But there's definitely fear of, like, I was like, what if somebody's walking in the back end of this, and I just ram into them?
Yeah, that'd be rough. Yeah, because when you're in it, you can't see if someone else is in it.
Right.
And, like, same thing if you're outside of it, you can't see if someone's in it because there's so much tinsel. Huh. But, yeah. Well, Ted, anything specifically you're looking forward to this week before we move on?
If anybody listening to this isn't doing much, Thursday night, the Soldiers of Destiny have their annual Big Hearts and Backpacks party over at the Pono Ranch in Ballard. And honestly, I tell everybody, it is always one of the highlights of the summer, one of the best parties of the summer.
Yeah, it's a great event. There's a bunch of beer donated by local breweries. We do games, prizes, there's a bunch of raffles, and all the money and all the backpacks go to Safe Place to help them out with kids who got displaced by Child Protective Services and the issues involved with that. So, yeah, it's a really good cause. It's going to be gorgeous outside. It's actually a cool space. It's really a bizarre space, but it's cool. They got food stuff going on. We had bags going. So, yeah, you like music and drinking? Come hang.
Prince tribute.
Is there this year?
Yeah.
Oh.
How do you not know that?
Dude, I've been fully involved in getting ready for Burning Man.
Oh, fair enough. I'm excited.
The bands.
That's the other thing I got to do this week. I got to hit some stores. I got some shopping to do.
Yeah.
And I got to buy some backpacks.
Yep. Yeah. See you guys at 8:15.
Right.
Seriously.
No. But yeah, I mean, that's all we have going on. We will be off, obviously, next week. There'll be 2 weeks off.
Okay.
Cobb and I won't be in town.
Yep. Sounds about right.
We're just about back. Cool. And then Matt, they don't let Matt in here anymore when I'm not around. So he's probably not going to do a podcast by himself.
Nope.
Solo cast.
All right. You want to read some emails there, Mr. Cobb?
Sure. we got one from Redacted.
Redacted?
Hey, boys. Sorry to get your hopes up with the weird link in my last email. Go ahead and give the PSA that emojis don't work on thepodcast.com, or maybe it's just certain ones. Oh, probably through our... Yeah, the thing you submit emails via... probably doesn't allow for emojis. As always, I love the show. Keep it up. And then this last part is not for on air. Cool. P.S. I've convinced myself my Twitter handle is wrong. Da-da-da-da. Okay, got it. Dude, my body's doing weird things over here. What's up, guys? Jumping back to episode 270 and the Indian Pizza. It's not specifically an Indian pizza joint, but Good Guys Pizza in the Northgate Shoreline area on Aurora has a 420 special. It's a buttered chicken pizza, and it is the S. Anyway, keep up the good work. Loving the cast. Shout out to Simple Safe Storage in Bremerton. They saved my ass when I had to move last second. Cheers.
Nice. I still like the idea of making pizza on tandoori bread, though.
Yeah, what's this Indian
pizza? Or non-bread.
Pizza?
Tandoori chicken, naan bread. Jesus. What's that? Yeah, I mean, I guess...
You'd like, have to make them separate because in that oven, they slap it to the side of the oven to cook. I don't think you could have ingredients on there.
No, I was thinking it would already be cooked like a boboli, and then I could throw it back in the oven.
Oh, I remember boboli. I feel like that was always... I was always hyped, and it never really worked out that well.
Oh, there was definitely a period of my childhood where boboli made a
boboli
huge...
the move.
I think boboli is the reason I didn't like pizza for a significant chunk of my childhood.
Well, homemade pizza's tough. So when I was a kid, there was like the box pizza you get from Chef Boyardee, but that wasn't that awesome. And then like if we made pizza at home, we would just roll out like crescent roll and then like put sauce on it. But I don't know, like it always came out burnt or whatever. So boboli...
Kind of like Totino's.
Yeah, but the party pizza... Oh.
I know, you're a big Party Pizza guy.
Yeah, I don't care for their other products or the Party Pizza. But I'm just saying, like, Boboli, I remember, like, this was one we could make at home that it wasn't always burned, and it, like, had other flavor. We're like, this is awesome.
Yeah, dude, I feel like the Top Dog, like, I was a big DiGiorno guy for a while there. Because, like, for a period, my parents were 3 nights a week. First, my parents worked every other day, and then when we got older, my mom worked full-time and my dad worked every other day. So there was a couple nights a week where they wouldn't be home. And so, yeah, we would have pizza. And I feel like DiGiorno was the staple for a while. Red Baron made a little run. And then the joint, dude, was Freschetta. I don't know if you've ever had their sauce-stuffed crust pizza. Wow.
No.
I had Freschetta this weekend.
Nice.
Sauce-stuffed crust?
No.
They're rare. I rarely even see them around now, but they're so good.
Yeah, just regular Supreme. It was awesome.
Yeah, I mean, right, if you're going to get a frozen pizza, you got to go to DiGiorno or Freschetta.
Who's your top dog in there, in the frozen category?
Freschetta.
Freschetta?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say Freschetta.
I mean, I like the Party Pizza, but that's not like, I'm not getting excited. That's just like, you know what, screw it, I'm going to have a Party Pizza.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of got a Red Baron.
The Costco ones are pretty solid.
Wow. I didn't even know that was on that. Well, they're not frozen.
No, they have frozen pizzas at Costco, and they come in like giant 4-packs. They're thin crust. Mitch has a bunch out in the garage.
Nice. Powerful, Mitch.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's another new brand that I see up by my house all the time. Forget the name of it.
There's a lot
California
now.
Pizza Kit. Pizza Kitchen.
It's not California Pizza. I mean, frankly, more than anything else anymore, it's just the Cali Power ones that I eat. The margarita frozen pizza.
Oh, yeah. What blows me away is that they can sell frozen pizzas as cheap as they can.
Well, like, that's
what are the unit economics on that?
They've got to be right there with rotisserie chickens.
I mean,
just selling them at a loss to.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what it costs to throw some dough and cheese into a freezer, you know?
But also, yeah. I feel like if you guys were at my house drunk, I'd be like, here, have a couple of Totonis. Like, we'll fire these up.
Whereas, is it like, Totonis or Totino's?
Oh,
I'm not sure either.
It's probably Totino's. I just throw a Tony in there as a tag.
Sound cool, yeah. Totonis.
Totoni.
Hey, welcome to Totonis.
No, when I was a kid, we ate Mama Celeste ones.
Mama Celeste?
Yeah, it was just like this square. It came in a square box. It was like a personal pizza and it had this little silver disc and you microwaved it.
Dude, wait, what's the name you just said?
Mama Celeste.
Mama Celeste makes me think of Miss Cleo, which makes me think of Prem Yotish.
Oh, Prem Yotish.
That's the Miss Cleo of Ted's
of India.
Cricket channel. Yeah.
No, but that's what I was going to say. Like, Freschetta.
Call me now for your free reading.
I remember dating girls, and it'd be like, let's get a Freschetta. Just hang out at the house. That'd you know what I mean? Joint. Like, you get excited about those frozen pizzas.
Yeah, dude. How on earth are you single? Dude, I'm the same way. Like, I'll be in the middle of describing something, and I'm just like, wow, how am I single? Okay. Yeah. You know what I mean? Just like, I don't know, just crazy stuff. Like, yeah, weird little random things about my life. I forgot. We got one from Miami Jake.
Oh, nice.
Almost skipped over it. Boys, I'm not going to lie. Why do I always picture this guy in a white Corvette in Miami?
He's at least wearing white linen.
Like, yep. I feel like he's like Don Johnson. He's on like a sat phone and just like pre-recording his emails and his secretary sends him off. Boys, I'm not going to lie. This email was originally supposed to be a lot more inspirational. way more backstory and context. But I'm not a fucking poet, so I'll cut to the chase. Whatever goal you're staring down, attack it. Go absolutely full send. Whether it's Ted's weight loss journey, Matt's next chapter with Nutrition Made Fun, or Cobb's pursuit of breaking his dry streak, I have full confidence in you guys to succeed in whatever you're chasing. Seize the day, burn the boats, no half send. Miami Jake.
Fuck yeah.
God.
So fired up right now.
Yeah, I know.
Solid PS. Cobb, I'm totally kidding. Keep killing the popcorn game and build that goddamn empire. Maybe bring some to a party. Sounds like a great conversation starter. Oh, Miami, man.
We were talking today about, do you know anybody that lives in Florida? And I legit said, I was like, wait a minute. Does Miami count? Because I know people that live in Miami. And when I think about people living in Florida, like, it's not Miami.
It's like, I know a guy who was a god in Miami.
Like, I'm just saying, like, Miami to me is completely different than the rest of Florida.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if you're like, I live in Orlando, like, you have a different lifestyle than Jake does.
Yeah. The further north you go, the further south you get in the gunshine state.
Yeah. That's what I would say. The more farther north you go, the more southern it gets.
Yeah, 100%.
Right, but so that's what I was like, I don't think Miami counts as living in Florida.
I feel like Miami Jake's just like, I don't know. Just picture him like knowing models, but they're all like, you know, I don't know. I picture him being like straight from the early 80s. Anyway, keep turning it up, Miami. Hello, boys. Ted, get out there and slay those jorts. Rock those sexy hairless legs. I'm trying to get him to rock the Jito.
I will say, I pulled out a couple pairs of jeans today that I can't wear anymore as I've blown out the crotch. And I'm like, these are perfect jorts.
Ooh.
Crotchless like, jorts, ladies.
There's a hole crotchless in your jorts. I'll be like, yeah, that's why they got turned into jorts.
Cobb, I had lived my whole life without the knowledge of the Jito. Damn you for that mental picture. Sorry, Ashley. Hope you have an awesome week, boys. P.S. I'm Team Taryn. F bananas. May the banana herpes run rampant among all those skanky things.
I gotta say, that seemed very... Who was that from?
Ashley.
Ashley. I mean, you had us there. And then you're just gonna riff on bananas like that?
Man.
She had us in the first half.
Right? I think all of us are pretty bummed the banana's leaving. Random question on that. The banana. As much as I like this fruit, I noticed. Never shows up on a fruit cocktail.
Yep.
Mostly true. Yeah, was a fruit cocktail different than a fruit salad?
I think they're the same.
Okay. Yeah, I'll occasionally see it, like, if it's mostly grapes and strawberries. But other than that, no. I mean, it's as rare as the bananas in Runtz.
And I think you need a pretty, like, green, like, sturdy banana because of the texture. Like, the juices of the other things are just going to break it down, and it's going to make a mess.
Yeah. We were all sitting there eating bowls of fruit salad or fruit cocktail, if you will. And what makes it a fruit cocktail is if it has a cherry in there. And I was sitting there and I was like, never see a banana in here.
Well, yeah. And, Ashley, I don't think it's going to be as great for you as you're suspecting. Because I believe the one they use right now, I think the Big Mike already had this happen and went extinct, and now they're on to the Cavendish, or maybe it's the opposite way around, other way around. But anyway, when this sweeps through, us banana lovers will lose the banana that we've come to know and love, but there will be a new... I mean, there's like thousands of varieties of bananas, so we're going to be all right. Then she has to deal with some new banana coming in that potentially could smell worse. So, you know, could taste a little different. Like, they have really, like, sugary ones in Malaysia, the little tiny ones.
Yeah.
Crazy flavor.
I've seen those before.
Fire.
Yeah. Maybe she'll like them.
Yeah.
That's maybe it goes the other way.
And I don't know how old Ashley is, but people's taste buds change over their lifetime too. So
yeah, I hated onions. Now I like
onions.
Yeah, and I like raw onions on a burger. Mm-hmm. I was eating some on a gyro today, and I was like, these are good.
Any other foods that you've changed on?
Onions, pickles, like different flavors of pickles. I used to just like kosher dills.
Mm-hmm.
Onions is a huge one. What else? Probably just different genres too. Like, yeah, I used to think I did like Indian food. I still don't like olives, which is weird.
Not even black olives?
No.
Oh, those are fire.
I don't like olives. Mushrooms, I've never really come around to.
Depends on the mushroom.
Yeah. But just, you know, I mean, like Indian food I like now. I used to think I hated that and, you know, just stuff
that's
like that.
Really good Indian food.
Yeah, I think onions probably for me is just the big. I remember it was like a kid in my early 20s. It was just like, get those. Like, I couldn't eat anything that had an onion in it. It was disgusting.
Yeah, I'm with you. Onions, yellow mustard.
Wow.
Relish. I still don't deal with like sweet pickles. How about you, Matt?
I like relish. I don't like pickles. Onions, I switched on, and hot sauce. I mean, I still have my limits with the spice. You know, I'm not one of those like macho, like, oh, I'll eat anything super spicy. Like, give me the hottest thing you got, Thai restaurant or whatever. Thai food I didn't like for a while. I think because the first time I had it, I got it too spicy, even though it was only one star. Apparently, you can get 0 stars, and that would have been the move back then. But, yeah, spicy foods, I can tolerate a little bit, depending on the dish. Sometimes I like a little bit of a kick, but, I mean, you guys had the wings on Sunday. Like, those are relatively spicy. And before, I don't think I would have even liked that.
See, I will say, spice went the opposite for me. I used to like stuff much spicier. But, like, those wings, by the way, those wings are so good. You are the wing king. They are
awesome. In the crown.
Yeah. And I made this statement. I'll say it again. Any day you can eat chicken wings shirtless is a good day. And it just doesn't mean sitting around your house being a slob.
Yeah,
I mean, like, we were outside, like, on a dock. Like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
But to me, that's the right amount of heat on my wing.
Yeah, that was my first time not making the sauce myself. But Sweet Baby Ray's had some, and that was what was around. And I was not surprised that Sweet Baby Ray's delivered.
Yeah, everything they do is awesome.
Real quick, do you guys know much about the Seahawks team this year? I just feel like I don't know much.
I mean, it's the Seahawks, so they'll be decent. I don't think they did enough to bolster their offensive line, which is always a little disappointing, but you still have Russell Wilson.
Is he the highest paid player in
football
now?
That's
wild.
Yeah. He is currently.
What's any idea? what that dude's making? I'm sure they put it out, but
I forget. I know he just bought into the Sounders.
I know, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, him and Macklemore.
Yep.
You know, I don't know what the Seahawks. They weren't supposed to be as good as they were last year, and they ended up being okay. So I'm predicting they're still around a 9 or 10 win team this year.
Okay.
So if they get hot, they can make
a long way since 95. People from the area remember. Kingdom days were dark. To the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
Sorry, Ted, but if I am in hell, probably they'll play Dilemma by Kelly Rowland.
Wow. And Nelly?
Wow.
First of all, it's a Nelly song featuring Kelly Rowland, and you're going to say that's the song they play in hell? I mean, I can hear it. So I like that song.
Or Family Affair by Mary J. Blige. I find those songs annoying and repetitive. Have a nice day, Stevie, a.k.a. the Packers fan.
Whoa, Stevie!
What are you doing to us?
Like we were buddies. This is alarming. I'll let Mary J. Go, but you don't like Dilemma? That's one of my favorite songs of all time.
Wow.
How about Don't Let Go by En Vogue?
Good.
It's a jam.
It is. I just remember Dilemma. Like it just spoke to me.
I'd have to hear it. I don't know.
It wasn't my favorite Nelly song. Relative to some of those other early Nelly bangers, it didn't quite live up. But
dude, bangers is right.
It's not playing in hell, that's for sure.
But, you know, we've always said this. I have a soft spot for R&B, too. So, like, that song I love, or, like, did you guys ever, like, I Need a Girl by Diddy?
Bump and Grind. What?
Remember that song?
I don't know.
Diddy and, like, Loon? Yeah, like, I love that song, too.
Again, it was relative to how I knew Diddy from Mo Money, Mo Problems and Can't Hold Me Down. Like, I was just like, yeah, those guys doing R&B didn't do it for me because I liked their more hip-hop, like, upbeat stuff.
I guess you guys don't like Usher either, then.
You made me want to...
There's two or three good dance songs by Usher I'm into.
Yeah.
you mean Usher?
I caught that.
Thank you.
And You Make Me Wanna was the jam. I had the single on cassette from Best Buy and would just listen to it on repeat and sing it in the mirror. Why am I still talking?
That's all right. I used to sing nice and slow to myself all the time.
I don't know what that one is.
Yeah. I mean, the Nelly stuff also shows our age difference a little bit. Like, Nelly was massive.
Yeah. Nelly was a banger, dude.
Yeah.
Like, Country Grammar was one of the first rap albums I had.
Or right, I'm saying Usher, too. My bad. I screwed up there. Usher was a little more, he's been prevalent, but like nice and slow. Like that's when I was like in my sophomore, junior.
I always thought of Usher as an R&B guy. And then he like did, and some other of those like big ones later in the 2000s where it was like, oh, wow, cool. This is a fun, you know, dancey, upbeat one.
Yeah. Well, him and like Timberlake, right? Like they can go back and forth, right? They can do just classic R&B songs or they can do more upbeat like bangers.
Renaissance men.
Yeah, well, Michael Jackson. I mean, you can tell both really liked Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love Michael Jackson, too. Well, I haven't seen the movie yet, but we were actually playing Michael Jackson in the shop, and a mutual friend of ours was like, you guys still listen to Michael? And I was like, damn, was it that bad?
Wow.
I'll tell you after.
But it's also not new.
Well, and also, like, does that mean you can't enjoy his music now? Or his dancing?
I don't know.
Oh, boy.
I don't know. This one's a tough one, right? Because it's like, when he was alive, like these allegations weren't out there.
I don't think you can control whether you or not you like his music. You can choose not to listen to it because of those allegations.
Right, but is that in any way punishing him or getting any justice on anyone except yourself?
Your own happiness? I agree there. That's for sure.
Yeah, I don't know.
It doesn't matter if it's black or white, you know? I was really trying to shoehorn that in there. I had nowhere to go with it.
Oh, man. Sorry. I was like, PYT. No, pretty nice thing.
Oh, the way you make me feel stuck in my head there. Which isn't necessarily my favorite.
I like Michael Jackson, right? It's hard. Like, you put on Billie Jean, be able to dance.
Mm-hmm. Dude.
But I think for our age right now, that's the issue with Chris Brown.
Yeah. Ooh. I don't really know a lot of Chris Brown music.
I don't really know much
about his whole story.
I think
was he accused of assaulting someone or convicted?
He wasn't accused.
Convicted?
He beat the crap out of Rihanna.
Was he convicted?
Yeah.
Is he in jail?
No. He has multiple assaults on him from other people. Like, then he would get in trouble on probation. Like, right, it's not like he was brought up on charges. Like, he beat the shit out of her.
Yeah.
And then people make the argument, like, well, they were both young and this and that. And it's like, I don't care. I think he's a piece of crap.
Yeah,
like,
seriously.
But with that said, There's Chris Brown songs that you guys know if you've ever been to a nightclub that you probably just don't realize
is
Chris Brown.
First single I remember liking.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, never really cared for anything that I've known was his, but I also am like, I don't know. I really had a thing for Rihanna there for a while, and I was like, how the f*** are you going to do that, dude? Like, and then as soon as I found out the thing was Chris Brown, I just didn't like him ever since.
Right, and then there's always, it's always a tough thing, right? Because we see it with athletes a bunch, right? People go, well, they deserve a second chance and this and that, and I go, I don't know. You know, like the Ray Rice thing, we talked about this years ago. That one just always pissed me off. Because,
is that the elevator one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the NFL and the league really didn't care until the video came out, right?
Yeah.
So, like, with Chris Brown, I mean, I don't, like, literally, it was a woman having this argument with me that I should like Chris Brown and just let it go. And I was like, I don't know, like.
Most of the people I know that like Chris Brown are chicks.
Yeah.
And I'm like, are you, what?
Yeah.
Show some consistency, ladies.
Yeah. I don't know.
But then, look, I catch heat from people. So I'm like, look, Michael Vick had dog fighting. He went to prison. He did his time. And there's people that won't forgive Michael Vick. And I'm like, there's people in the NFL that beat on women. Like, sorry, I love dogs, but, like, he went to prison and did his time. Like, we can let Michael Vick be okay.
Yeah. I mean, went to prison and did his time, and it was sort of like a, you know, it's tough to understand as, like, a cultural thing in that area. I mean, I totally get yeah. that it's, you know.
It's like go to Puerto Rico. Like,
objectionable, but it's just, you know, it's tough to understand, like, an area if you don't live there. That being said, Michael Vick was a phenom of an athlete. Good Lord.
Oh, yeah.
Good Lord.
And those Virginia Tech teams are good. But I'm saying, like, if I go to Puerto Rico, like, I'm going to a cockfight.
Jesus.
Like, it's still legal.
Just like, I just like, we were kind of like trying to dance around it. Like, oh, yeah, I don't know. And she's like, go, no, I'll be front row. I want to see some blood. Want to see some blood? Get him, Big Red. Just like, Jesus, Dad. All right, man. Gentlemen, just before I listened to last week's episode, my lovely and beguiling lady friend introduced me to white nectarines as opposed to normal nectarines, which are so delicious and refreshing. I said they may be my new favorite fruit for hot weather. Smash cut to 20 minutes later and my surprised face on hearing the cast debate on the summertime supremacy of watermelon versus Honeycrisps. If anyone hasn't already tried white nectarines, I highly suggest you give them a shot. More juicy and refreshing than apples, more flavorful and crisp than watermelon. Unrelated, congratulations to all three of you for the impressive successes in your respective self-improvement and business endeavors. Proof positive that diligently hustling while listening and learning produces rewards in the long run. As always, LARP on and C-Town. What? Carson the Lawyer.
Nice.
Hell yeah.
That's a good email.
Yeah, and look, trust me, I'm influenced right now as it's summertime, and I've been eating watermelon like 4 or 5 days a week.
So
like every lunch.
Talk to me in October, bro.
I have watermelon with it. And you're right. It's like 2 months from now, right? I'm like, man, that's what I love about the fall. Football's back. Arsenal's playing. Apples are here.
Well, I better not see you catch you eating an apple.
Oh, not
on my watch. Yeah, dude, white nectarines, pretty bomb. Nectarines in general are really good. If you got to get them in the right.
Yeah.
They're kind of like avocados, though. They're a little like finicky. You got to get them like on the perfect day.
That was my thought. It was like, I've had a couple white nectarines and I wasn't impressed, but I could see how if you get like a perfectly fresh one. I don't know how to like pick the freshness of things. I literally just like ask chicks at the store. I remember at Costco the other day, I was like, how do you tell when a watermelon's fresh? And she was like, oh, yeah, you got to. She had some sort of accent, too, and she's like, you got to, like, slap it and then, like, listen, and you want it to sound like a half-full bucket. And I was like, all right. And then she's just like,
out there bruising all of them.
they got tough skin.
I see people knocking on them all the time.
Yeah.
What fruit are we talking about?
Melons.
On melons, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
But, you know, people say that about bread, too.
Really?
Yeah.
I've heard that if it...
Like, you can knock on it and you should...
If it's heavier than it looks, then that's good.
Yeah, I think
for bread or melons?
For melons. I don't have bread tips. I don't know. I just pull one off the shelf. How much bread are you evaluating?
You know what? I saw it on a food show, but I will say this. I evaluate a lot of bread every time I go to the grocery store. Matt knows this. I mean, it's a whole thing when I'm in there. And like I'll walk by the bread aisle twice. Generally not buy a ton of bread, but just like
smell a little bit.
Just like, oh, that looks good. What do they got? Mini pretzel rolls now. Okay.
Should we live the glory days?
Right, like I'm always impressed with Hawaiian's sweet bread.
Wow, yeah.
I mean, I go on one of those trips with you to the store. Like, let me know. I'll come over.
Yeah, right.
It just sounds fun.
Yeah, it is. And Matt has a habit of calling me every time it's like a Wednesday night or something. Or even when we were done with like our weekly phone calls, like what? And I go, believe it or not, I was in the store again.
Dude, it's just so funny because I can picture. Yeah, never mind.
Yeah. That and every time I go by, like, you know, sometimes they have little screens that are like, you're being filmed.
Yeah.
I always look up at myself. Every time.
Yeah.
I can't let it go.
Yeah. I just like, now I'm picturing both of us trying to use fruit to hit on women at the grocery store and it going terribly wrong. Like, I feel like they can sense that you have a girlfriend, Matt, and that you're safe.
Yeah, that's probably a good call.
Man.
Yeah, look at those melons.
Yeah. It's just like, does this, how do I tell if, she's like, don't talk to me.
Yeah, the grocery store is hard, man.
Yeah, the grocery store is tough, man. Bright lights.
I said
no
chicks.
Music.
I should have said women. Like, generally a little bit like 40s or 50s. They know they know the deal.
Oh, yeah, okay.
They got some life skills. It's not like, oh, where's the hottest chick? Let's go approach. You know, it's like, yeah, she looks like she's lived a little. Probably has some tips for me.
Dude, here's an interesting theory I'll share with you that I read. So, women, you know how women typically dress more colorfully?
Yes.
Guys, like, basically wear, like, gray, blue, black a lot, which covers all three of our outfits in here.
Right.
So, and, like, tans and stuff for pants. But one theory I heard is that from, like, an evolutionary biology standpoint, that women have more color cones. And they're more likely to have more color cones in their eyes, which is why they have young women grade pearls, you know, ultra white, pearl white, whatever, because they can see the subtle differences. But then they think that this guy posits that came about because men typically were doing the hunting, which left women to be doing the gathering and the homemaking. So they had to be able to distinguish which berries were ripe, which fruits were ripe, which things were poisonous, whatever. And so, you know, over thousands and thousands of years, they got really good at, you know, color and also at, like, I don't know, just like bringing a home together. And so, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, look at Pinterest.
Yeah. That's why, like, guys' apartments always look like they just moved in.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to point at you. I meant in general. Mine does too.
Oh, no. I'm just thinking about, I'm like, yeah. So now I have like fur jackets and stuff laying around. But like, I still have a suitcase just sitting on a chair from a month ago.
It's like, it's still there?
Yeah. There's nothing in there but a couple of hoodies and a pair of sweatpants. I'm like, I don't need it yet. It's fine. And I just, I haven't had anybody over.
Yeah. Tyler's in Alaska and there is just everywhere.
Right? It's just a different lifestyle.
I'm like, I can just kick my shoes. I'll throw my socks there too. Like, whatever.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and part of that too is disgust sensitivity. Like, typically, there's one partner or one roommate or whatever who's higher in disgust sensitivity, and so they're sensitive to things mixing before the other person is.
Well, it's like OCD. I read this article that was just like
exactly.
OCD. I mean, it's like they don't like they know they're OCD, but they can't help it. It's just part of who they are.
Yeah, they're high in disgust sensitivity.
Yeah. Right.
Disgust. So
then, yeah, sensitivity to disgust, which is like mixing categories. So, like, if you have, like, things arranged, everything has their own spot, and if it's all just mixed together, then, you know, it's a problem for you.
Our junk drawer was organized. I had no idea. I thought it was just a junk drawer. She's like, what'd you do while I was gone? Like, just took it out and threw it back in there. What do you mean?
I didn't realize there was a system.
Yeah. I was going to say, but on the other end, too, like, there's people like me that's like, it just doesn't bother me. Yep. And people that are on the opposite, it drives them insane. It's like, look, I get that you have to be super clean, but it's like, I'm not trying to offend you. It just doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
I have found cleaning up always takes way less time than I make it out to in my head. Because, like you said, I can tell it bothers her. So if I know she's coming home, I clean up well, right? And I want her to come home and feel comfortable. And, like, when she's home, it's like putting my stuff back isn't the end of the world. It doesn't take very long, and it's a worthwhile action. When she's gone, I have no problem not doing it. But, yeah, like, that's one thing about cleaning. If you're like, it's just not a habit of mine. It's not something that I think to do. But it's always like, oh, wow, that took 10 minutes. Our apartment's not very big. But, like, yeah, so.
Yeah, that's how I am with my girlfriend, too.
I just think it's always funny that I was a janitor, so I cleaned for a living, but had disgusting places. I was like, yeah, people paid me to do it. Like, when I was a bartender, I kept my bar clean. Like, I was one of those people. But, like, right, you're paying me to do it. Like, when I go home, there ain't nobody paying me to clean my room.
It's true.
I always kept this kitchen way cleaner than I'd keep the kitchen when I lived at the barracks.
Thank you.
Like, it'd be here in the middle of the night, and I'd be like, What are we doing, guys? This is a shared workplace. I'm the only one here. I'll do it myself. And then I come home and there's just like a mountain of dishes. Like, whatever. I don't really care. I'll just order pizza.
Well, and that's essentially the air. I mean, to bring it full circle, that's essentially the airplane debate that we're having, you know, about being shoeless on
the
plane.
By the way, I took my shoes off when we started talking about that. I haven't put them back on since. It's good life.
But yeah, essentially public spaces, whatever, you know, how you use them. Apples versus melons and homemade cane syrup. For a proper decision, we must compare the best apple with the best melons. I've traveled the world just for fruit. I've worked on farms in Washington and have my own exotic fruit orchard in Florida. When I lived in Washington, I would juice a case of apples per week, and now I go through watermelon by the bin. Best apples I've ever tried come from Tonnemaker Farms, are all organic, can be found at local farmers, Seattle's farmers markets. Just check the website.
Tonnemaker.
Their Fujis are the best, and I think they stand out more than the Honeycrisp. Mm. Edible Acres Farms grows the best melons I've ever had and can be found at Port Townsend and Mount Vernon food co-ops when in season. The Crimson Sweet, Sweet and Orange Glow have been incredible. You guys also spoke about syrup in the past, and of course there's the infamous pancakes versus waffles debate. My wife's family have been making homemade cane syrup for over 30 years, and next to take it over... I'd be happy to send a jar for you guys to try if interested. I'm including a link to a video I made on YouTube of us cooking syrup. Also, homemade French toast, beets, waffles, and pancakes. The Fruitographer, P.S. I met my wife at a fruit festival. Boom.
That's awesome. I think we all have discussed that before. Like, French toast is phenomenal. I just don't feel like it's nearly as available as waffles and French toast.
Yeah, I think that's really the only knock on it is the availability and the diversity.
Or waffles and pancakes.
The diversity of preparation. Because I feel like you don't always know what you're getting, you know?
And also, like, French toast to me is just something I order at a restaurant. Like, when I was a kid, my mom would make it sometimes. But I just feel like there's frozen waffles.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, waffles at your home are just much easier to eat. Like, when you go to a hotel, they have that little crappy breakfast bar place. And you can make a waffle. Yep. Like, you know what I mean? There ain't no way to sit in there and make French toast.
Yeah, I'd say pancakes are equally, if not more, accessible.
Right.
But yeah, the French toast. Yeah, although, I mean, it could be one of my favorite breakfasts. I mean, he's not wrong. My dad makes mean French toast. That's why I had a lot growing up.
Yeah, French toast is great.
So good.
Yeah. Some places now make brioche French toast.
Oh, I like when they use the challah bread.
The
challah.
Yes.
Portage Bay Cafe makes a pretty good one, but, like, they have the breakfast bar with all the toppings and stuff, but most of their French toast, like... All the ones that look good have a bunch of stuff already on it. And then you go over there and it's like, I mean, this looks pretty awesome as it is. But since I get a trip to the breakfast bar, I'm just going to take some extra fruit or whatever. But if you're ever in...
I always get omelets there.
Really?
Yeah.
They were out of the one that I wanted to order. Or maybe I wanted to get the Benedict. I can't remember. But I ended up with French toast. And Le Parisien, however you say, like, someone from Paris, Parisienne or something.
Parisian,
something like that. There's a
That's
place
in... how we butcher it.
If you ever go to New York City, that place has the best French toast I've ever had. It's in, like, Lower Manhattan.
That's just toast, my brother. Are we good on emails?
Yeah, man, we're straight.
All right, man, let's check in.
Hey, what's good? What's Matt?
Before we get to what's Matt means...
Well, I had an action-packed weekend. Friday, I went golfing up at Jackson, which was a ton of fun. And let's see, I had 3 pars, a couple bogeys, and a couple, like, 8s was what we maxed it out on. And so, you know, pretty standard day for me. Consistency is not there yet, other than the fact that I consistently play golf now.
All right.
But on 18, my buddy Jake from 10 Miles Wide has a tradition there where he play, like, you try the Happy Gilmore swing on 18. But you only get 3 strikes or you're out. And you take a real ball afterwards, too.
Okay.
It's not going to go
off. What if you crush the Happy Gilmore one?
Well, I did that. But it went a little bit... It went straight, but because you're not, like, lined up perfectly when you run at it, it went, like, towards the trees. But it was a straight line. It wasn't a slice where the ball starts and, like, fades off to the right. So I was super stoked. Everybody else struck out. And, I mean, I crushed that thing. And my buddy Riley got video, in slow-mo. So it looked pretty sick. You can check that out on my Facebook. But that was a ton of fun.
Well, look at that right now.
Yeah, it was pretty rad. And you can see the obnoxiously loud outfit I'm wearing. It's that blue Hawaiian shirt that I got in Boise and those blue Chris Dyer shorts. And then my Summer Meltdown hat. So the whole outfit looked like John Daly put it together. And then later that night, I met up with my buddy Josh, who you guys met at the party. And we went up to his cabin in Stevens Pass. And on the way there, I was...
Sorry, keep going. We're just watching.
Yeah, no, I see that. But I was waiting. We went grocery shopping.
Damn.
Right?
Hold on that one.
Yeah, it was awesome. So I'm wearing that obnoxious outfit in Gold Bar, right? We've talked about Gold Bar before. That's a tough town.
It's Gold Barbarians.
Yeah, it smells like a farm. Like, there's just tough people out there. And yeah. I'm dressed like that in the grocery store. And I have, I bought the place out of their chicken wings, which we had on Sunday. But we were getting stuff for the weekend, but I was like, I'm going to get chicken wings now. And so I had them on the counter. Josh was in line ahead of me. And then the apple that he got had like a hole in it. And so the lady like pointed it out and he went and got a different one. And as he did that, I moseyed over to like the cold drink section to see if they had soda water. I already had soda water in the car for the weekend, but I just got a little tinge of like, I might want more than we have. So I just looked and then I walked back and there's like a Gold Bar guy there who like the cashier just told him like, oh, there's people here and there's nobody there. And he didn't look like too pleased with that response or whatever. And I was just like, oh, yeah, I get anxiety if I don't have enough soda water. So I was just checking, like dressed like a jackass. And he just looked at me like, you fucking tool. All right, get your chicken wings and get out of the way. So that was just a really like, it didn't dawn on me how uncomfortable it was until like the next day. Cause I was just like, yeah, just was straight up with the dude. And it's like, I forgot, I didn't process what I was wearing. The fact that I look like some Seattle softie, like I get anxiety if I don't have enough soda water.
That's what I like too. That's awesome.
Like idiot.
Don't you know I get farty and bloated with a foamy latte?
Yeah. Yeah, that was a funny moment on the way up to this cabin up by Stevens Pass that we were staying at. We recorded a podcast that I don't know when we're releasing it. We just went up there and just like marathoned like 9 episodes, half hour each, just kind of talking about, you know, proving yourself and all that sort of stuff a little bit. It was a fun thing to do. Josh and I have helped each other out with a lot of stuff over the years. And so we just kind of like put our brains together and did that. And I don't know when it's going to be released or anything like that. He's got all the audio, but it was a ton of fun going up to a cabin in the first place. And then, yeah, cooked out, made pizza, made steaks and salad, and just kind of like had a great time at this awesome little cabin. Walked down to the river Saturday night when it was dark, but didn't go swimming. And then Sunday was a party, and I was pumped. Josh was there and got along with all our other
friends. I had a great time with him.
Yeah, he's a rad dude, and I thought he'd mesh well with everybody. But we were, I thought he was a solid addition, and then I was stoked that when everybody showed up, we mostly talked about that party. Francis was watching her play in the waterfall with Jesse. It was definitely one of the highlights of the day. Just great to see you guys. My parents were super stoked. Like I said last time everybody came over, like, it's always fun to be like, hey, remember, like, I made friends with some of the troubled problem kids throughout the years, so it's fun to get everybody over there. My parents are like, wow, you turned out all right. Like
your friends are adults.
Yeah, they're awesome.
And one dude can't dive, but...
Yeah, the other dude has kids. Like, yeah, I was like, how'd you meet him? I was like, through the Summer Meltdown, Mom. Like, he's been over here before. And she's like, yeah, so it was just a ton of fun to get my parents introduced to everybody again and get everybody together there. And yeah, so great weekend.
Awesome. Yeah, that was, man. Thanks again to your parents. That house was great. And the food was on point. And it cleared up nice in the afternoon. It was awesome, too. It was warm enough to go swimming. And then once the sun went down, like, all right, let's put on a hoodie.
Yeah.
That's my preferred kind of weather.
I know. We spent some summers together.
Right. One of the great comfortable looks is like the board shorts and hoodie. You know what I mean? Like your skin is all crisp from being out in the sun all day, but then like you throw the hoodie on as it gets cool. Love that. But still warm enough to wear shorts.
I like gray cargo shorts with a white t-shirt and a black hoodie or black zip up over it. That's been a look that I...
Gray and black.
Yeah. Monochromatic.
Yep. He must be from Seattle. All right. I think it's about that time.
Boop, doop, doop, boop, boop. Cob topic.
Cob topic.
How deep do you guys want to go? Scale of 1 to 10.
5?
Okay.
Does that help at all, or is that like the worst answer?
No, that's fine. I have 4 different ones today, so I got a 5 for you.
Wow.
So,
like, deep or shallow? 3 feet?
Can I dive?
Okay. This one, hopefully will spark a little bit of conversation. We don't all have to go into each one of our ideas, but what would you say if, like, you know how people are, like, weirdly politically correct and very conscious about how they come across to other people. And because of that, I think oftentimes people don't say what's really on their mind. And what's weird is, like, we can always, I don't know, I feel like in talking to people, like, you can always kind of know when someone's being, like, really, you know, genuine and authentic. And so my question for you guys is, what is an elephant in the room for society that no one's talking about right now? Feel free to email us, literally the word email at thepodcast.com. What is an elephant in the room in terms of our society that no one's talking about right now? I can go first and get you guys rolling if you want some time.
I don't know if it's an elephant in the room as people talk about it, but the race stuff to me is just insane. I think it's insane that the Emerald City supporters or the Timbers Army can't have a flag in their section that says Nazi free zone. They've been confiscating those and saying, well, like, some people think it's too political or this and that. Like, are we really at a point where we're defending Nazis? Like, why? Well, there's some alt-right people like, no, like, we all agreed on this. There was a fucking world war about it. And everybody, we teamed up with the Russians, who we always hate it. And we're like, yeah, we need to stop the Nazis. So, like, it's like, and then other people, you bring up a race thing and people go, oh, you're just bringing up the race issue. So, like, the race thing, while it's brought up a ton, I honestly, it's like a giant elephant in the room to me right now. As I'm just like, I don't get it. Like, I don't understand how some people can't see things, you know, for what they are.
Yeah, I would say
it's if you're alt-right, like, you're a racist. You a Proud Boy, you're a racist.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you. I think it's especially an elephant in the room for, like, white people right now because they don't really know, like, what they can and can't say and how to behave and whatever, you know, because there's like a vastly increasing number of groups who can be offended from, like, you know, various, like, things that you say, like, you know, like, if it's, you know, they're trans or, you know, pan or whatever, like anything like that too, you know, or along race lines. It seems like white people are always, like, backing themselves into a corner on it.
Yeah, and, like, generally, right, like, there's obviously slang terms that I use and stuff that just is, like, from being from the D.C. area or listening to rap music, but once in a while, there'll be a black person or two that'll just be like, oh, I guess you're down or something, huh? And I get it. I'm not going to argue with them. Like, all right, you think I'm just patronizing. But it's more than often than not, it's white people. Like, even when we were at that party, I just used the term cookout. And white people on Twitter were like, oh, you think you're down? Is using the term cookout? Like, no. Nobody barbecued, nobody cooked anything low and slow for 8 hours, so it's a fucking cookout. You're grilling. Now, granted, I know black people use the term, but it's just, so that's the flip side of it. It's like you're saying, like, sometimes it's like on Twitter now, I'm almost scared to put stuff out there, is if I say something, the way I would say it to anybody's face, white or black, it's like the written word comes, it's like, oh, you're racist, or you think you know black people. It's like, okay.
That's what I mean. Like, people are so touchy about everything.
And I also think sometimes just let people defend themselves. They're fine at it.
Well, yeah.
Like, I do think we need to be allies in certain things, like Killer Mike says, but also, like, you don't need me attacking me as I said the word cookout, two words.
Yeah, seriously. Well, yeah, and there's stuff like that. And I don't know. People, like, really have given themselves license to feel offended with some of, like, the, you know, like some of the doors only swing one way, like feminists, for instance, like, I always see those shirts that are like, the future is female. And it's like, okay, cool. Like, I'm pro, like, women doing well and succeeding and, you know, getting better educated and being able to make their own choices, you know, and the rise of birth control and all that. But at the same time, like, how is that supposed to make guys feel? Like, imagine if guys were wearing shirts that said the future is masculine.
Yeah, but the dude's always been in charge. I don't look.
In charge is goes two ways, like in charge, but also responsible. Because that's like you think about like a good leader is also responsible for their people. You know.
In terms no, of like I know, but I don't think setting. Like. I don't think guys need to wear a shirt to say that because we've always been in charge. So it's like it's different. Like for women, it's still like a thing, right? Like we still haven't had a woman president. You
that's
know what
true.
I mean?
Yeah, good
so
point.
So they're still like you're still fighting to achieve stuff.
But then, okay, I mean, so I hear you. I think you're right. But then, if the burden of or like making it, if the is having a president, like then why do we still have, you know, like white black issues?
Because that's not the burden of proof. I know, I just said that, but it's also not the burden of proof, right?
I hear you. It's
and
just
I
like
said
an
for
example.
Years, like I remember having this conversation with Thurl when we were in Baltimore, and I said, trust me, I said we will have a black president before we have a woman president, as racism we'll put aside for sexism.
Yeah. It's so
now,
weird.
Now, granted, that race was a little different. You have somebody like Donald Trump running and Hillary Clinton, but yeah, I mean, like, yeah, it just, I don't know. So maybe that, right, you're saying race, whatever, that's the whole elephant in the room. We talk about it nonstop, but it's like nobody really is honest.
Yeah, or knows what to do. Yeah, the racing is so weird because growing up in Seattle, it just like, I don't know, I felt like it wasn't that and like people being gay was not as big of an issue as you know it is in some other places, and so it's just weird to me that like that's the lines along which someone chooses to hate someone else. You know what I mean? Like it seems like a weird selector.
Yeah, but again, it's generational. I mean, a lot of the stuff that happens in the South, and I've given this speech before, right? But during Reconstruction, the carpetbaggers come down from the North to rebuild the South and everything, and they don't. Black people and white people are all poor. They're all farmers. They don't really help the white people economically. They just remind them them that they're better. When I say remind them, that's what they're doing to them. But just convincing them, like, hey, you're better than black people. And the reason you're poor now is because they're free. So, I mean, a lot of this stuff is just generational built in. Your grandpappy's been in the goddamn Ku Klux Klan. You know what I mean? So that stuff breeds through. So why people are unhappy and stuff. I mean, look at the state of Mississippi or a lot of states in the South, right? Like, they're not doing well. I don't know how you can blame everything on black or brown people, too.
Yeah, I don't think you can blame it all on black or brown people or all on white people.
I mean, South Africa, that's a big issue right now.
What's a big issue? Oh, well, the apartheid stuff?
Right, because now it's flipped. And they've put in rules where, like, if me and you, if I and a black guy, the black guy should get hired, which I get. So there's a lot of black people in the middle class that are coming up. But then there's also a lot of them that aren't. But then there's also white people in these ghettos now. And it's like, and I watched a black dude do a documentary on it. Well, like an hour special. And he's like, I don't know. He's like, I get why it's against the white people right now because apartheid was so awful. You need to adjust things. But he's also like, seems like we're just doing that to some of the white people now. It's a very weird, odd, sticky situation.
Well, yeah. And that's, you know, you talk about like things shifting or going back the other way. That's kind of what I feel like. For some people in those parts of the country that like Trump is just like the pendulum swing back the other way from them, you know, hating Obama, whether it's policy wise or skin color wise, I don't know. But you know what I mean? Like that's just like now the power pendulum is, or the cultural pendulum like swung back the other way. It's really weird though. And yeah, as far as the stuff in South Africa, like ultimately these are all various groups struggling to like be heard and have power. If you want to go like Machiavelli with it, you know.
Elephant in the room.
This was a five?
Yeah, I know. When you asked that question, I was like, damn.
All right. My turn. I think now I don't think I should be the judge of this, but being removed from it for a number of years, I think that there is a drinking problem in the country. Like just overall. Again, I'm a super biased judge. I have a lot of friends and family that drink a lot, and I don't think it's my place to be like, you don't have a drinking problem, but you do, or whatever, right? But I do notice that there are a lot of drinking problems, and there's always defenses that they get to throw. It's easily accessible, so they can like attempt to hide it, and you know, if you drink at all, they'll make it seem like you're part of the problem, too. I've seen that now that I don't drink. If I say something, I don't get it or I'm no fun, whatever it is. And it's like, people are problem drinkers, and there's a lot of them, and it's relatively socially acceptable and widely available and legal, and it's killing a lot of people and destroying a lot of lives.
And it's encouraged.
Yeah. It's heavily marketed.
Yeah.
You know and I mean? Socially, like, yeah, yeah, you're right, encouraged. So, and
like, we live in a state with legal weed, but you'll still get reactions if I mention, like, oh, just get it, you know, let's go, you want to go smoke a bowl or something. And there's certain people, certain ages or rank or whatever, will still give you a funny look, but they have no issue joking around about going out and getting wasted.
Yeah, like blackout drunk.
Yeah.
Regularly. It's wild.
Yeah, yeah,
I would definitely
right.
say alcohol is the more aggressive of the two.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, but you're right. That is a weird one. Yeah, we have a weird...
And nobody...
A lot of it was marketing. You
know, what's that?
Alcohol did a great job marketing.
They did. Was this me and you having this conversation?
I don't think so, but yeah, like, why would you pay $50 for one shot of vodka and $3 for another shot, you know?
No, you know what? It's maybe me and my buddy Saul, we were talking about it. So he's like, I think a lot of it is just marketing that makes people drink. And I go, it is a big part of it. But also, when you look at cultures, like, people have been finding ways to be to alter themselves for...
Yeah, altered states, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so that's an interesting one. And people will come up to me and talk to me about it privately. And people that I don't even necessarily think have drinking problems, they're just like, I know I don't need to drink as much as I do. I feel a little groggy the next day. I'm putting on weight, whatever. And like I said, they're not destroying their families or their own personal lives or anything in the process. But yeah, so it's very... Now that I'm removed from it, I'm not, like, trying to get on my high horse or anything. I'm just a little baffled by the amount that people consume and the lies they tell themselves to do it. In some cases. In other cases, yeah. It's like, yeah, I don't know why you continue to do it when you're actually aware of the negative effects of it, which generally the people that are aware of it aren't eliciting the most negative effects. Like I said, I hear it all the time of, like, yeah, I feel like I drink too much. And I'm like, I know people that drink too much. I don't think you're one of them. I don't know the full details of your story, but like, why do you say that? Well, sometimes I get a little hungover. Like, that's not a tipping point to me. Do you drive drunk? No. Like, you take the bus, you know what I mean? Like, people, but then there are people that are like wildly like unaware of what a problem it is that just overdo it. And it's like, yeah, it's just a wild thing socially that I get to observe more, and I hear people come up and, like I said, say they think they drink too much. And those are usually the people where I'm like, I don't think it's that bad, but yeah, your hangovers would go away and you'd lose some weight if you stopped drinking. But the fact that you're mentioning that to me usually is an indicator that you don't have what I consider a drinking problem.
Yeah. It is awkward when you're not drinking. People always take it almost as an affront.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, am I drinking too much? Like, I didn't say that. I'm just not drinking.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have another friend that just kind of this year just hasn't been drinking. But even he was saying, he goes, man, it's just awkward as people are so used to me. And he's like, I might go back to drinking. He's like, I'm just not doing it right now. But he goes, people are so used to me having beers with them. And it's so socially acceptable. It's like they're like annoyed when I don't drink with them. I'm like, yeah, that is odd.
They get defensive. And if you're on a short break and you're like they'll try and pressure you into it. When I first stopped drinking, it wasn't like a permanent decision. You know, I wasn't in AA or anything. I was still going to bars and stuff. And people would like try and get me to drink because they didn't want to feel like they weren't, you know, they had a problem or whatever. So it's a really interesting, weird social dynamic.
Yeah. All right. I don't have anything funny to say after that.
Oh, yeah. Your guys' were intense. Mine was pretty straightforward. And we don't even need to debate it because we're probably running out of time. But yeah, mine was just no one really talks about like how shitty our school system is. Considering we spend more per student than almost any country in the world and how it could be much better.
Same with healthcare.
Yeah. Healthcare, I don't think it's an elephant in the room, though. I think healthcare is going to see its day here pretty soon. I think in the next 10 years, we're going to see some real radical shifts in how that industry gets disintermediated.
Yeah. I mean, schools.
Fly to Mexico for that surgery. I'm just kidding.
Healthcare, anything like that. You know, I always go back to the wire, but just follow the money. It's pretty simple to see why we have systems the way they are.
Yeah.
So, all right, there you go. Like I said, we'll be off for the next 2 weeks. If you're in Burning Man, you probably already talked to us in Cobb, and I know where you're staying. I'm trying to think. There's only a couple people that are going.
Do you want our address out here or no?
Yeah, podcast.
All right. Yeah, we're at 7:45 and K.
Is it 7:45 and K? All right.
Yeah.
Nice. Come
say what's up.
Yeah. Which also sounds so easy, but it is so hard to find people there.
Oh, my God. It's
they move the street signs like the first day, right? Is that what you said?
Nah, it'll take a while from all the street. It's just so massive, and you just have so much fun in every place you go.
And everything's covered in dust. It all looks the same.
Yeah, it's just hard to move.
Tents covered in dust.
Yeah, 7:45 and K. Come on by. Say what's up. There'll be one day you'll find Cobb down at District sweating.
Hard. I'm going to roll into District white hot.
All right. So, yeah, we got a couple weeks off. I hope everybody enjoys the rest of the summer. And then by the time we come back, I mean, college football will be in full flume.
Wow. Yeah.
And the NFL, full swing. Mm-hmm. Full swing. When I say full flume.
Yeah. Flume. I don't know. But yeah, technically it'll still be summer, but realistically, like we all know,
September
10th. Starts the fall.
We'll be back.
Yeah, because September 8th, I'm reemerging in public.
Okay.
Not that I have it specifically in my head. yes, September 10th will be...
From my chrysalis.
Yeah, hopefully you're still enjoying summer. And I mean, hopefully it'll be an Indian summer. We'll continue through September.
No, hopefully. Enjoy that last couple weekends.
Yeah,
let's
get
go
out there. And also,
summer 19, baby.
Labor Day is always a great time, man. Just go do something. And whatever it is, Saturday night of Labor Day, know we're having a blast. We want you to, too.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, man.
That's what I'm talking about.
Take some time to listen and learn. And that's episode 272 for MCTP, for Cobb. I'm the Ted Smith. This is the podcast. Cheers.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.